Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
The devotion for communion always lines up with the message. And today, I want to talk about having a faith that's in action, not a faith in action. Do you have a faith in action? Or do you have a faith that is in action? So if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be in the Word for a little bit, and then we're going to kind of do something a little bit different as we're going to talk about some individuals and have some individuals who put their faith in action come and share. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul is giving some pretty amazing, there's a depth of theology here that we hold on to. Let's all kind of read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So much liberating truth here. I mean, great theology. I mean, we begin here in verse 8, where our salvation is of God's grace. And when we think of the word grace, it's kind of hard for us to understand. And the easiest way that I've ever heard it explained, which I love, is you have to know the difference between mercy, justice, and grace. So justice is getting what you deserve, right? That's justice. That's you deserve something, and you get what you deserve. And then we have mercy, and you know that mercy is not getting what you deserve. So there's something that's due us, and yet we have been given mercy. I mean, we know that God is a merciful God. And aren't you glad that God is a merciful God? But God is also a just God. So we have this thing that if God is a God of justice and God is a God of mercy, how do we bridge those two? Because every one of us in this room has sinned, amen? So every one of us, we know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. He lets us know in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how do we write? Well, so Paul lets us know here in Ephesians kind of what brings this together. And it's this concept of grace. So if justice is getting what you deserve and mercy is not getting what you deserve, grace is getting what you don't deserve. The grace of God allows us who are imperfect, us people who have sinned, to have fellowship with God because Jesus has atoned. We have received an atoning sacrifice that we do not deserve, and we receive it by faith. For by grace, getting what we don't deserve, we've been saved. And how is this applied? Through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But here verse 10 lets us know why we were saved. We're saved to be his, but we're also saved with a purpose. For we are his workmanship. In other words, your life is God's workmanship. You're the canvas when we allow him to paint his picture on our lives. When we are the clay that is submitted and yielding to the potter. Now I know if you're like me, sometimes you struggle with submitting to that process, amen? Sometimes we struggle letting God have his will, have his way in our lives. But this verses like this encourage us that God is working in our lives, and he created us in Christ Jesus for what, gang? For good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, Jesus taught us that a good tree is going to have good fruit. And this fruit will indicate the identity of this tree. We briefly discussed last week the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5. This fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so God's Spirit is at work within us that we have godly character that expresses itself in good works. I'm going to say that again. We are His workmanship, which means that God produces in us godly character, which expresses itself in good works. So I got a question for you. What are you doing? We could say all day long, I could preach messages all day long. And if we refuse to walk out and begin to take part and to search out the good works that Christ has for us, then James tells us that our faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. So what are the good works? And again, we're not working to earn our salvation. We're working as an expression. What we kind of read in this is, because God has been so good to us, because God has been better to us than we deserve, because God has given us what we don't deserve, He hasn't given us what we have deserved, and He's given us what we don't deserve. I mean, because of all of these things, His justice, His mercy, and grace, our lives are a life of purpose and meaning, and it ain't just to go to church, and it ain't just to sit back and watch TV. It ain't just to go to your job, be a good parent. You have a purpose. You have a plan. So my first point for us today is we are created for good works, not by good works. You are created for good works, not by good works. And so God has a work for you. Everybody say, God has a work for me. Oh, say it like you mean it, church. Come on now. He has a work for you. Okay? A way for you to show forth your love. How to not just be loving and be peaceable and demonstrate kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, but all of those fruits are going to push you to doing the things that Jesus has for us to do. There's a great model as Jesus goes and He calls His disciples. He calls them to walk with them and to be His and to serve others. Newsflash, they didn't always get it right. That's why I love the New Testament, because the New Testament lets us know that Jesus called imperfect people who sometimes messed it up. And so our response to God's grace is a life of grateful service. Our response to God's grace is a life of grateful service. He has set us apart. This is a theological word we use, that we have been set apart. We've been sanctified, okay? We've been consecrated. We are set apart to be His and to be used by Him. So here's what I want to get to. Here's the main point of the message today is we are saved. Okay, we are saved by grace through faith, and that means that our life is going to be a life of action. And if you're sitting here saying that I just don't think I ever have a life of action, I want to challenge you today to begin to pray that way and to begin to understand that that's what a follower of Christ is going to look like. So a couple weeks ago, Wayne, Larry, and Rod went to Kentucky for a mission trip. And so I'm going to ask Wayne, Larry, and Rod if you guys would come up. And I have, this looks like we got a game show. So this is not a game show. Come on up, guys. Come on down. You're the next contestant on.
Come on down.
Yeah. So they've got some things, and you can just pass the microphone. Oh, we got wireless mics. Wow. How are you guys doing?
Good.
The questions only get harder from this. Here, why don't you get one of those mics there? There you go. Okay. So I've got some pictures, and I've got some questions, and I got some things that I want you guys, as we talked earlier, this trip was not focused on these guys. It was focused on what they can do, how they can share the love of Christ. And a few observations that I've had in talking with them. And the first observation is this, that when we serve, we encourage other believers. And can you tell us about where this is and what you did to serve and what you did to encourage other believers, guys?
Well, Okay, I guess I'm... Is it on?
It is.
I can't hear it, so... this is in Artemis, Kentucky. Artemis Christian Church. It's in Knox County, Kentucky. This church, if I remember right, has about 40 attending members every Sunday. And the minister of this church, his name is Jesse Martin. His wife's name is Jenny. And how long have they been there, Wayne?
Maybe two years.
Possibly 2 years. Yeah. And in that two-year time, they've made some drastic changes in how things are done and the worship set up and praise team. And it has encouraged that church. Rod?
No, yeah. It's the area around was very interesting getting there. Whenever we travel, and I think we'll talk about it in a bit, to like the outreach area or any other area surrounding the church, the housing situation was all over the place. Where one block, it might be a very like desolate house, and then like maybe 200 feet past that is like, oh, it's a nice house. But then right after that, it's just desolate housing again. And so a lot of the people around there are kind of looking for any kind of hope. And Artemis Christian Church seems to be doing their best to provide that. So it's nice to be there.
Go ahead and go to the next one there. Next slide. Yeah. So there's a picture. I mean, it's a church. Looks similar. It's just something we would consider. So as we look at, you know, the opportunity to connect with other Christians, to encourage them, to kind of breathe some life into them, what led you, Wayne, when you started originally talking about this mission trip, what led you to want to do this mission trip?
All right. I've gotten acquainted with a commission encounter about 6-7 years ago. And there's a guy named Marcus Mobley. He's a youth minister down in Kentucky, and he felt the need for putting together opportunity for individuals, churches, to go on a mission. And so he has been doing this. Jim Dane met him, and we, I think this is our third trip to Kentucky, but what their focus is, they'll put everything together, give you a cool t-shirt when you get done, so, but they have everything put together, and usually there's a project that that you're gonna do on this mission trip. So that's, all you gotta do is, there is some money involved getting there, but all you gotta do is work with him, and the legwork is done. So that's how we got started with a commission encounter through the camp. And from then on, they go to Phoenix, up to a reservation. They go to South America people that go down there on mission trips. They go to Honduras. They are really centered in Kentucky. They go to several places in Kentucky, like the location that we went to.
So this particular church had some needs, and we know the community around them. There was some poverty. There were some individuals who had not just some economic needs, but spiritual needs in that portion of the world. I know if you go to the next one here, here's a specific thing that you were able to bless this church. So what was it like working with some of these other people, and what did you learn working with some other folks in the team? And could you tell specifically like kind of what we're seeing here?
That I was very much out of my depth. I didn't know the first thing about building a shower. But is working with other Christians, it's interesting. It's like you don't know them, but at the same time, you have this connection, right, through God. And so we were able to just get there. We got there late at night. Next morning, we woke up, had breakfast, and just got right to work. Everyone just kind of fit together like a puzzle. Everyone had their place. My place is usually, hey, what can I do now? Tell me what to do. I don't really know what I'm doing. But they were all kind enough to direct me to what to do. And everyone just had their place. It Larry would do something. And then one of the other guys like would just come in and pick up right where he left off without him having to say anything. It was pretty amazing.
I'm happy that you wore your safety glasses right there. I see those on there.
Yeah, Wayne basically taped them to my face.
So you were doing some work. I understand that you had a bathroom that you're remodeling and adding a shower house. What was that? What was that going to be used for?
what we did in one of these photos that Michael will click to later. It's a view of this bathroom. These toilet seats were turned. Originally, they were crossways, and the main supervisor of the project, his name is CJ. Can't remember his last name.
Sweeney.
Okay, and he is a minister of the First Christian Church in Jeffersonville, Indiana. He had come down 2 weeks prior and cased it all out. He planned everything. So those toilets had to be turned the way they are looking now to make room for that shower. So it was quite a project just to do that. Usually whenever you think something is going to happen easy, anytime you redo something, most of it breaks, or you find problems with it. And
we've never
had
that happen here in projects at the church. That must be a Kentucky thing.
That's something totally foreign to Michael. I know that.
No, never happens.
But anyway, these showers are going to be used for the next and following mission trips that come down, workers, whenever they go out in the community, do repairs, maybe build wheelchair ramps for senior citizens or repair roofs or whatever. This facility here, this church, is going to be their base headquarters. And these will allow people to clean up and just get refreshed. And that's the purpose of them. It may sound trivial to us, but whenever you're out and all sweaty and everything, Jack knows about that, being in reservations.
I don't know how to take that.
When you're out.
No one's going to get the aroma of God if the aroma of you is overwhelming them.
Jack's been on some of these mission trips, and it's great to be able to get back someplace and be able to clean up. And hopefully they last for several years.
Yeah. So there's lots of needs in this area, and now you've been able to kind of bless them with that the teams that come in can use that and be better equipped so they can go out to the community and serve.
Correct.
You're going to say
something? Yeah, there's also been some cases in the past where, whether it's due to fire or flooding, that a lot of people were left out of homes. And so the church actually provided housing for a lot of people, but in the past they didn't have showers or places for them to actually clean up when they were housing those people. So as a secondary function, beyond just allowing teams to go out there to serve longer, if there is another disaster that leaves people without homes, they can house them and provide them with a place to clean up as well.
If you recall, several years ago, there was a series of enormous storms, that ripped through Kentucky in that area. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. Those of you who are kind of science nerds, if you've done a lot of reading, Tornado Alley appears to be shifting. So if you're one of those meteorology nerds, it appears that it's moving farther over to the east and across, kind of some of those areas are getting more devastating storms. One of the things that I've always loved, like when I've gone to Cuba, I know that Rod and Grace were just, at camp, and we had several of our church family who was out there working at camp, and Okina and Katie and those folks. Are the relationships that you build. I think there's another slide here. Yeah, some of these relationships that you build when you're working together. Because, when we come to church and we sing and we do our things, it's nice when we have a moment to kind of go and share with one another. But when you actually are talking and laboring with somebody, you instantly make a bond. And that's what I love, like the opportunities when they have brunches. Those of you who've served in the kitchen, things happen. You drop a thing of eggs and you laugh about it. sometimes. And but little things that happen when you're going through. Can you talk a little bit about the relationships that you built with the other folks who are there serving together?
Yep. Of course, I know three of these guys, but Amanda, the only gal in that picture, I had met her before on previous trips. That's her husband, Lucas, on the left. And then CJ, he was the carpenter brain. Like I say, he had everything put together. When we thought this project was going to take about 3 days, we were using those showers at night, which was Monday night, so we didn't have to go over to the preacher's house to take a shower, which I'm sure she was glad she didn't have six people coming over to shower. But anyway, CJ, the big guy in the middle, he's a really super person. And Lucas, I don't know if you can tell or not, but he has lost his leg below his knee. I think he had cancer when he was 22, and they were able to save most everything above his knee. But that guy there can outwork a guy with two normal legs.
I spend most of my time trying to keep up.
Yes. He has his email address is one leg, one life. I think .com, wasn't it? I think so it was. But anyway, he didn't let that slow him down. So anyway, we are at top. Since we got ahead of schedule, we took a little day trip, half a day trip, and it was rainy that day. Anyway, this is on a huge lookout there in a town called Pineville. So, but really a good group of people to work with. Amanda's a really good cook, had great breakfast every morning. And by the way, we slept on air mattresses, they were the a grade above air mattresses, but it took a little used to getting sleeping on.
How many of you slept well?
I did.
Okay. Let's go to the next one here. we know you sleep well, Rod. I know that there's another slide here if you go to the next one there. But so you had an opportunity. You know, when we serve together, we share Christ. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is encourage everybody here that we develop a life of service, okay? And you don't have to be a skilled carpenter. You have to have a willing heart. And so when we serve together, we share Christ. Tell us a little bit about the opportunity, because we know that when Jesus went, Jesus addressed the very real needs of people. Jesus healed people before he checked on their, hey, do you, what's your all your theological positions? He met them right where they were and then offered them the opportunity to walk in relationship and fellowship with him. And so he had a purpose beyond mere physical relief and affliction. So when you go to a community and you serve that community and you're blessing that community, that it also allows you the opportunity to share with them. And I think I see you guys like on the basketball court. So tell us a little bit about this your outreach day, if you could, Yang.
So when we first got there, we brought food to cook hot dogs and cook some food for the whole community in their cul-de-sac, and we brought some games and some balls to play with the kids. And as soon as we got there, one of the kids had a baseball bat, hit a ball, and hit a car. I was like, all right, different ball now, wiffle balls only.
Did it break the window?
Hit right below it.
Okay.
Got so lucky. But it went really well throughout.
Next mission trip, Mike Smith will be going down to Artemis.
Yep. We went out, me and Lucas actually went door to door, knocking on the doors and letting people know that, hey, we have food out here. We have games for the kids. Please join us. And I got to one door, and an old woman opened the door. And she opened it up, and right inside, she had a daughter that was sick. And she's like, I don't want to come out. Her daughter's sick. I don't want to leave her side. I was like, well, what do you want? We got food. We'll bring it. And so she told us what she wanted. I went and got the food. Me and Amanda went back. She let us inside, and we were able to give them the food and pray for them and talk with them for a little bit. before we headed out, and I think it made a lot of difference. They had smiles where there weren't before.
Any other stories? You can go to the next one there.
Yeah, Lucas, he was sitting two pictures ago. Anyway, he was sitting, there he is, and this one little guy, he was really interested in his leg. So Lucas takes his leg off, the prosthesis, and he's using it for a bat, and he's using it.
And he legged out a single?
Yeah, he did. He's really connected. And this actually, his leg is used. He uses his leg to reach out to the Lord, and this is one good example.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. Larry, do you have
one? When I saw that, I thought, okay, what's going on here? This is getting a little crazy, you know. But this little boy that is examining his, quote, leg, his name is Xavier. And he was always very active, and he wanted to play every game that there was there. He would go from one to another. And there's another little boy did the same thing on one of the slides back, where Wayne was pitching. We were playing wiffle ball, and that little boy was just—he was a live wire. I don't know how much caffeine or how much sugar he'd had before he showed up, but he was all over the place. One observation I made, though, whenever we were pulling into this facility, it's an apartment complex. The first sign I saw, of course, was slow, 5 mile per hour. Second sign was, this is a private park for residents only. And I was getting a little anxious. I thought, okay, we're pulling into an area that's not a public area. Will we have enforcement running us off? But they set up everything, and the grill started, and, Rod and Amanda started knocking doors, and first thing you know, we had a lot of people coming out. And one of the couples that did come out, their names were Charles and I believe it was Katie. It turned out they were a couple that Jesse Martin, the minister, had married. And so we had a connection there. Didn't realize it. We had a connection there. So it wasn't very long after they came out, they put on gloves and started serving people. I mean, that's how quick that connection was made, and it was really neat to watch that.
Yeah, and you can't really see it from the pictures, but we were mainly set up in this cul-de-sac, and there's housing on each side. But while we were there and kind of locking it down there with the kids, a bunch of the other members also went down the street, further down to another cul-de-sac of basically the same size, and then another one after that. So they went down, spread food, talked to the people, and then came back, resupplied, and then went out again to another one. So there was a lot of connections made just through this outreach.
That's awesome. One of the things that goes without saying is when you travel and when you go to things like that, and you get out of your little, it's amazing to me how people come to Pike County and they look around, they're like, oh, it's so beautiful here. And you're like, I live here. I don't see that because we're so used to it, right? The things that we take for granted, we kind of become nose blind to our own beauty and the things that we do have here. And then you go to another place and you're just overwhelmed. There's a couple pictures here. If you go two ahead there, Matt, there you go. Back up where you had. Oh, it's still there. Some really lovely pictures of the smoke. I'm assuming these Smoky Mountains here.
Appalachian.
Okay, the Appalachian Mountains. You got an opportunity to kind of pull out and just have some a nice quiet day. I remember I called and you guys were having a lovely day. What is this thing? Go to the next one there if you would, please. Okay, what's with that?
That's called the Chain in Rock. That's the name of that national park. And we had, from where that first picture was taken, the group photo, you go take a trail, walking trail, and you go walk down 1 mile to this observation point where this chain is. It's bolted into that rock, and it goes across a ravine to another rock ledge where Rod was sitting.
You don't need to tell him that.
And Rod is afraid of heights. And it was a sheer drop off where he was sitting. But anyway, that's why they call it the Chain in Rock National Park.
Yeah, and there's a story behind it of apparently back in the day, the story goes, the Boy Scouts of the time brought up these chain links, each one of those links one by one, down that whole trail because they're afraid the rock was going to fall onto the city below, on the town below. And so they brought up these chain links and they set them in and just put it together to chain the rock there. So the story goes that that chain is the only thing holding up a massive boulder on the other side from falling into the town.
Well, there you go. anytime that we have an opportunity, to, we get to connect with God's people. We get to connect with the Lord in nature. We get to connect some of those things. But we also learn about our heritage. Now here, you guys on the way back were able to go by Cane Ridge. And for those of you who don't know, obviously, if we're part of the restoration movement, I'm just going to read something from the Hopewell Museum because it kind of tells a little bit about what happened at Cane Ridge. Cane Ridge Meeting House was built in 1791 as a special place for many reasons. Hardy pioneers followed the advice of Daniel Boone and came to this ridge of cane breaks between two creeks and made their homes and built their church in the county of Kentucky in the state of Virginia. From the surrounding virgin forests, these pioneers cut blue ash logs and built their church. There were doors on the east and the west end, and the pulpit and communion table on the north side. The pulpit was approached by several steps so that the preacher looked down on the congregation. However, there was a balcony up there as well, and the balcony was where enslaved individuals sat. So slaves entered by a building in the way of an outside ladder to an opening end, and there was a renovation in 1829 that removed the gallery, and after which the slaves were able to sit downstairs. There's pieces of our national history, some really bad chapters of our history that are represented there. But at the same time, at the Great Revival years beginning in 1799, many camp meetings took place at this location. And the largest, and this is what we know as the Cane Ridge Revival, was August 7th to 12th in 1801. And estimates that there were 20,000 people who attended this camp revival, interested in salvation and socializing. There was a great spiritual freedom that was left over from the Revolutionary War, and the worshipers threw off their fear of the wrath of God and rejoiced in the love of a forgiving Lord. This freedom of belief, especially in the New Testament, eventually led to the establishment of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church, and the United Church of Christ. Under the leadership of Barton W. Stone, a Presbyterian minister at Cane Ridge, the members agreed to create their own separate church in 1804. This church was based solely on the Bible without attention to religious rituals and Calvinistic doctrine. The denomination grew and joined with a similar movement led by Thomas and Alexander Campbell in 1832. In 1882, another renovation of the old church included plastering the inside walls and some other things as well. So you guys were able to go visit Cane Ridge. Mm-hmm. You guys were able to see that. We got a couple pictures they'd gone through. What was that like to visit that historical site?
Whenever we got out, I was a little apprehensive. I thought, okay, what are we going to see? This whole trip, everybody, I have been totally out of my comfort zone. Everything that we did, I'm not used to doing that. But the inside of that stone facility, does he have the photo of it, of the church inside?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't changed. Well, the inside the building.
Go ahead and...
The building in the building.
Back, yeah, there you go.
There we go. When we went inside, it was an eerie, peaceful feeling to think that we are inside the building where all this Reformation, happened. And to walk out in the grounds, there's several burial plots out there. Scattered all through the area there, the wooded area and all, and it's just very peaceful. But as I say, you feel like you're in the presence of some very, very special saints. very special people.
To be someplace where such powerful events happen. And those of you who studied the Cane Ridge Revival, it was a massive, massive revival. Salvations, baptisms, people experiencing, you know, the expression of spiritual gifts. It was a pretty powerful experience, and obviously one that propelled the Christian church moving forward. I'm going to give you guys, because I know our time is just about up, I'm going to give you your final 30-second parting thought. Why, if I'm sitting here today and I'm listening, why should I put my faith in action? 30 seconds or less. Go ahead. You can be longer than 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, it's great to meet Christians. It's great to help other people that... there is a need, and that God's going to allow you to give you the encouragement to do that. There is one thing I want to pass on. The church was challenged, and by the way, this was sponsored by our First Christian Church, but the church was Mark Mobley asked it if I would send some extra money to pay for the showers. And I thought, well, you know, I hate to ask for money. It was, several hundred dollars. So he said, well, pray about it. And I said, okay, I will. And so about a month and a half into this, before he got ready to take off, a gentleman came to me in the church here. And he said... he said, I'd like to help out with the project. And he said, I'm going to leave a check with the Rebecca. And that check covered the whole project. And there I was worrying about, asking for money. And all I'd do is ask God.
It's awesome.
Yep.
Thank you, Rod.
A lot of times when we talk to our youth, it's reach out, do some work. You never know how many other students also believe in God, right? You're not all alone. There's other people out there who also believe in God, who are also fellow Christians. When doing stuff like this and going on this mission trip out to Kentucky, just meeting other Christians from much further afield, and being able to work alongside them, just having that instant connection, is very encouraging, as well as being able to encourage those who aren't Christian in outreach and being able to provide. It's a time of growth for them, but also for myself. And if you choose to do something like this, it'll be a growth for you. And being able to have faith in action, the first step is always the hardest. And then just moving from there it's amazing. I'd highly encourage.
Right.
The reason this area is so economically depressed is it used to be coal country. And when the coal industry was shut down in that area, that caused all of this financial hardship with all these folks. And the first time Wayne asked me to go on one of these mission trips, it was just a year after I'd had my heart attack. And my wife would not hear of it. She wanted to make sure that I was still firing on all cylinders. So I was able to go this time. And yes, I was apprehensive. But whenever you go and meet new people and see the struggles that they deal with every day, and you see a young minister, Jesse Martin, ministering at a church where... his grandfather was the minister there, so he's trying to continue a legacy to save that church. But as I say, it gets you out of your comfort zone when you see people that are that dedicated.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.